Blog Talk Radio.
Remember,
you look so much better when you smile.
Come on.
I almost gave up, but I'll power that.
want you to be happy, but then you gotta have something happy. Then I want you to have joy, cause can't nobody take that from you. I'll see you. My.
Good morning, people of God. Good morning and welcome to Victory Praise Broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Keith Williams, and thank God for my co-host, Veronica Neely Morris. How are you?
I am doing fantastic, Apostle. It is always good to be a part of your radio show, Victory Praise.
Amen. Amen. You know, we thank God for you all for listening in to us today. And listen, to today's going to be a great day. And you see a number that is on your screen. And we have a great topic that we're going to be talking about this morning. And I think that it is very needed for us to talk about this that we're going to be talking about. But first, remember, Kurt Franklin just said he smiled. No matter what the issue is, he continues to smile. It says he smiled. I smile. So every day you have to, everything you go through, you have to smile. Why? Because you're already victorious. No matter what it looked like, people of God, you're already victorious. No matter what the enemy throws your way, you have to smile in spite of. So there's a number on your screen. We're going to be doing some great talking today, and it's going to be a little bit different than what we do on Tuesday and Thursday because today is our talk show, and we're going to talk about it because there's some things that some preachers may not talk about. We're going to talk about some things because it's needed to. It's just like a kid. If you don't teach a kid something, he's going to continue to do the wrong thing. So we're here to teach the people of God not only how to live in the system, but how to live a victorious life. And in order to do that, we have to open up some things. And some things may not be what you want to hear, but it's the truth. It's the truth of the word. So I thank God for that, because today we're talking about freedom. Having freedom in God. Isn't that a good subject today there, Veronica? That's an awesome subject.
Yes,
man.
Sir, it is. Absolutely.
Wow. Freedom. You know, I think the biggest reason why people are not walking in their freedom is because they really don't know that they're free. That's my view, that they really don't know that they're free. What do you think? What do you think about that?
I concur with you, Apostle. Not only do, and because I was one of those individuals for many years, it's that plus they really don't understand the definition of freedom. They don't understand, or we didn't understand, or I didn't understand that freedom started in my mind. Freedom wasn't some type of physical bondage, but it started in my mind. When I wasn't free, it was because my mind wasn't free. And freedom starts in our mind. And we have to realize that was what the Bible says. I think it's John 8:36. It says that who the Son set free is free indeed. So we
Come
are
on.
To walk in that freedom that has already been prepared for us. But we think freedom means physical bondage. And when you don't really understand what freedom is, then you can't walk in what you don't know. It has already been prepared for us. We just have to be free. But what does freedom look like to every individual?
Now, that's good, too. What does it look like? Because, see, some people think that they're free and in things, and then they find themselves doing the same things over and over and over and over again. And then, you know, they're constantly thinking that they're free. And, you know, just like he just quoted John 8:36, he said, whom the Son set free. So we know the Son is Jesus. Whom the Son set free,
Amen.
You're free indeed. So in other words, that word free, that word free in the Hebrew, that word free in the Hebrew, that's God telling us that we are exempt. It means to be exempt. We're exempt from poverty. We're exempt from lack. We're exempt from the coronavirus. We're exempt from all this stuff. And all these people now in the news, they put it out saying nobody is exempt from the coronavirus. That's a lie. When I'm free in the name of Jesus, I'm exempt from all that stuff. I'm exempt from all of
well,
that.
Well, let me ask you this here. What do we mean by exempt? Exempt just like freedom, it does not mean that we're going to live in this world without trouble. Now, let's say as a Christian, we can contract the coronavirus because we live in a human body, but we still have the freedom to be delivered from that. The Bible says man is but a few days in full of trouble. So that means that we are going to go through some things. It does not mean that we're not free. It's a process of life. Now, if we contracted, the Bible says that even if we got bit by a snake, it wouldn't harm us. We got to understand that we're free as it relates to we can still be healed. We are going to go through the same thing that the world goes through for the most part. That still does not mean that we're not free. We are free to activate our faith in deliverance, because I think a lot of people think that freedom means that without trouble. No. The Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. So throughout the Bible, at least three reference where it says that we're going to have some trouble in this world, but God has already made an escape for us. So even if, God forbid, we contract the coronavirus, we are still free to activate our faith in deliverance.
Man, because that goes right with Psalms 34:19. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all.
What we have to know. We are going to experience some things. And that's what the devil wants us to know. Then if we are Christian, we're free. Why am I going through this here? Freedom is not without problems. Freedom is not without structure. We are free to live out the life that we were created to live. You talk about freedom of poverty. It's not magical. There are things that we have to put in place so that we can live the abundant life that the Bible talks about. Spiritually, we are free, but we got to start in our head.
And if they put Jesus first in their life, all things around us, we become free in those things, because he said in Second Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty is nothing but freedom.
Amen.
It's nothing but freedom. So we put God in it. See, because people, I really think people today take God as a magic wand, that they can wave this magic wand when they get ready, and God is supposed to do something for them, even though the life that they're living is not lined up with the word of God. They feel that okay, God says I can have this stuff, but yeah, okay, but you need to get out that bed that you don't belong in. Okay, God say I can do this stuff. Okay, well, you need to stop talking that stuff that you're talking. How can he give it to you and you still doing the things of the world? It has to be something. We have to be different than the world. The world has to see something different from us. What do you think about that?
I agree 100%, and even if I didn't agree with it, that's what the word says. When it comes down to, now, I wasn't in anybody's bed that I wasn't supposed to be in, let me be clear about that, but my mind was all tied up. I had been a Christian for many years, but in my head, I was still in bondage. The reason why I am free today is because I realized what was in the book didn't match up with my life. This didn't look like
that's
that. So what I had to do is go to God and say, give me what freedom really looks like. And it started with my thinking. You know, most of us, because of what we think and meditate on a daily basis, that is what keeps us in bondage. And the Bible talks about who the Son set free is free indeed. And it talks about the truth would make us free. One of the reasons why a lot of people who love the Lord is not living a life of freedom because they don't understand truth. They confuse truth with reality. They confuse truth with facts. And as we know, reality is not always reality. And facts change on a daily basis.
Come on. That's true. That's true. And see, people are watching the news every single day, and they're and I believe people are getting out of their freedom because they're paying more attention to what the news media is saying, and they're opening up themselves to fear. And now everything that's going on in this world, in this world system, is becoming a part of them because of a door that they opened up. Then when they receive the negative stuff, now they're blaming God. Like, God, why did you do this to me? God didn't do that. You know, because he said over in Deuteronomy 30 and 19, he told them, he said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death. And he says, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. So in other words, God was saying, I'm setting this thing before you, but I'm going to let you choose. But if you're too stupid to choose right, choose life. If you don't know what to choose, let me tell you what to choose. Choose life. Life is nothing but being free because we have Christ on the inside of us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I love
Amen.
That verse, man. I love that verse because he gives us a choice. It's a free will. You know, we have a free will. Just because, let's say if someone curse you out, they curse you out because they had a free will to do it. But does that make it right? No, it doesn't. But you done something that God gave you a free will to do, but now you got to pay a price for doing what you just did, because we don't know who the person we just cursed out. We don't know who they are. And God says, touch not my anointing and do my prophet no harm. You don't know who you just cursed out, and you don't know that what kind of curse you just put on yourself for doing that to somebody. I mean, that's the reality of it. That's the reality. Oh man, but how do you see all of this stuff right now that's going on right now? How do you see this stuff in this world right now? Because man, so many people are saying some foolish stuff, some crazy stuff. And the one thing I heard yesterday is that you know, I'm gonna tell it just like it is. They say the white man is killing off all the black people. That's the most dumbest thing I've ever heard. You know, and it's like what are you talking about?
Now, I do believe there is an agenda to silence or handicap people of color. It has been like that since the beginning of time. That is a fact. Mm-hmm. But we are doing more damage to ourselves than anybody can do. Remember, we have to remember that we have the authority within us. We have the power. Mm-hmm. We have to really, going back to being free and being true, I can't tell you how many stories I've read or movies I've seen where people were locked up in prison and they said, for the first time, I'm free.
Mm-hmm.
Because they became free in their mind. We were freed from slavery many years ago, but our minds were still tied up. Now, with that being said, prior to the coronavirus and many years back, let's just say there was an agenda to kill all black folks. We're just like the Israelite. We're like gremlins. We're multiplying. So it ain't working. It ain't working. You know? So we have to look at what the truth is. The truth is, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, even if that is a true agenda. It didn't work that time, and it didn't work this time. We have to realize that a lot of times why a lot of people of color are being affected is because of their job position. A lot of the positions, which they're essential, but it requires them to be involved in, well, there are groups, large groups of people. It goes back to education. It goes back to things that we should have been doing 20 years ago. So I don't blame, quote, the white man. You know, we've had this conversation at the table for many, many years. It's just like nobody can control my life. I control my own destiny by doing the things now that most people don't want to do so that I can live like most people can't live in the future. We have to take responsibility for our own life and our own situation. So even if there is an agenda, even if the coronavirus is man-made, and I kind of believe that. I'm in the medical field. I absolutely believe a lot of this stuff is man-made. But that still doesn't negate the power of God.
Wow.
He didn't say,
right,
I'll protect you if it's man-made. He didn't say, I'll protect you if it's not man-made. He says that you're covered under the blood. That's all inclusive. So I focus more on what he said than what they're saying. Whose report are you going to believe? If you fill your mind with garbage, nothing is coming out but garbage. It's like going to the bank. If you don't make any deposit, you're not going to do any withdrawal. I focus on what the world says. He says, by my stripes, you already heal. So regardless of what the process is, and I think this is a process that we all have to go through, but still, God is still God. It did not negate his power.
My God. Because I believe, you know, and you're so right, because I say all the time is that God never said that he'll keep you from the fire, but he said I'll always deliver you from the fire.
Amen.
God never said that I'll keep you from trouble. He said I will always deliver you from the trouble. So just
that's
because you get in it, it doesn't mean that God done left you. He said, because why didn't he say he'll keep you from that? Because he know we live here on the earth that you're going to experience some trouble. He knew that.
Amen.
He knew that. Because we live on this earth where trouble is. Jesus himself came as Jesus and he experienced trouble. Before he even started his ministry, he experienced trouble, but his father delivered him from it. Even when he was crucified, that was trouble, but he was delivered from the trouble. Man, that's awesome right there. That's awesome.
I don't know the scripture in the Bible what it says that, you know, oftentimes we say that, you know, if a situation happened and somebody calls you and your life is in hell, God is with you. Actually, the word of God says, if you make your bed in hell, I'm there.
So that means
if I goof up, screw up the whole 9 yards, he still said he's there. So in essence, it's going to be a coronavirus. It's going to be another virus. It's been viruses since I've been alive and before I was alive. But black folks ain't died. They still here. And if you look at the numbers, their numbers are rising. So they ain't killing us out. Every race of people are still in the earth.
Do you think that the numbers are right? Do you think that those are right, that those are the correct numbers, or do you think that those numbers are off?
Which numbers? Of people dying?
Or
the coronavirus?
Of people dying and the people that have contracted the coronavirus. Do you think those numbers are truly correct?
I don't think there's an accurate number. I think it's kind of impossible because there are a lot of people that are infected that have not been counted. But let me just put it this way. I have several sisters that are nurses, and they're right there front and center. I'm a respiratory therapist. They're bracing for, let's say one of my sisters, there's a hospital that holds 500. They're waiting for another 500 ventilators. So this is real. I am glad they're not showing us the truth, because it would really scare the heck out of us. So yes, I do believe those numbers are pretty darn accurate. Think about it. When in my lifetime have you seen everything shut down? The NBA, those are billions of dollars. All these huge Disney, you don't just play shut those down. This thing is real serious, and we don't really know what to do but God. So, yes, sir, I know this is serious. We're shipping out ventilators like they're cough drops, and they're still not enough. So, yes, absolutely, yes. And I'm so glad that we're supposed to be doing the things that we're doing, wearing a mask outside. And I don't think we're taking that too serious, but this is real, for real, real. It's so real that there are no words. You got to believe that there is a God, or you would lose hope.
That's true. That's true. And this thing now, are they really telling people the truth about how this virus is actually affecting the body? Are they really telling the truth of how it is? And then also along with that, about this medication that they think that they found to kind of counteract with it. You know, I don't think that this thing is counteracting with it. I believe that it's causing more harm to people's bodies than really helping them with the virus, though.
I'm not an expert in this, and I would say I don't know, but I'm guessing just like everybody else guessing. We don't have answers. We do not know. Mm-hmm. They do not know. Because it's mm-hmm. affecting everybody, that's when it got real. But I think all medicine affects the body in a negative way. It may fix this issue, but it causes 20 other issues. So I think it's all a trial and an error. Why do you think they call it practicing medicine? How does it work? I give you a pill, then you come back and tell me if it works. I do that on a 5,000 people, and then I market it. So I don't think we know. If we knew, trust me, it would not have gotten to this degree. So I think for the most part, they're giving us the information that we need to know. I don't want to know everything. It's just like even the Bible. Listen, girl, just trust God. You ain't got to know good from evil. And because now you wanted to know it, this is what it has caused. So there are certain things I don't need to know. It's just like when we're going through trials and tribulations in our home life. There are certain things we don't tell our children. Because they're not mature enough to know. But the adults, we just process through it. So there are certain things I don't want to know. I don't want to see it. I don't want to count. All I know is because none of that changes the fact that God is God.
Exactly.
None of that, knowing all the particulars does not change the fact that God is God. Now, do I trust him 100%? I have no choice. Yes, I do. Am I going to do what I'm supposed to do as it relates to protecting myself, protecting others? Absolutely, yes. Even when back in Bible days, when they put the blood on the post, the doorpost, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, can you imagine some of us super saints stepping outside, trusting God, believing God when the order was stay in the house? The ones that are in the house are the ones that are protected. It didn't negate the power of the blood, but the instructions were to stay in the house, and the ones that are in the house are protected. Are we not in the same situation now? Same God.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's good. That's good. And now the only difference here is that he told them put the blood over the doorpost because Jesus had not shedded his blood for the covering of the people of God. Now when you are positioned in Christ, you don't have to physically put the blood over the doorpost. You're already covered in the blood because you stepped into Christ.
And that's what we have to know, that we are covered. Mm-hmm. Under the blood, because we are blood ball, and it doesn't matter what the disease is, the virus is, he is still God. So we talk about freedom. I am free, even though I'm limited on where I can go and places I can go right now, but I'm still free because I know that this too shall pass, that we will get through this here. So I'm not living in fear. And when it all said and done, if I should get it, and God forbid I do, and I'm not going to get it. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So it's a win-win situation where you have to come in fixed in your mind that God is going to deliver you one way or the other. It is not my job or my responsibility to figure out how.
That's true. That goes hand in hand with the three Hebrew boys. When they were about to be put into the fire, and they told the king, "No, we will not bow to your idol God." And he says, "Our God will deliver us." And he said, "And if he don't, we will be with him in the kingdom." So they knew, regardless of what happened.
And listen to the story. These boys didn't just start bowing down when the decree was made. These boys didn't just start bowing down or praying to their God when the coronavirus hit the world. They were doing it prior to. So they continued in the faith. They continued doing the things that they were doing. I believed God before the coronavirus. So once this situation came about, my stance didn't change. That's why those boys were so bold enough and confident enough, even to be respectful enough. O King, live forever. Listen, check this out. Now, we know our God can deliver us, but if he don't, we still going to praise him. So this is not something I started out back in January. This has been a lifetime journey. God has proven himself true in my life. So no, I'm not fearful. No, I'm not living in fear. And that's why it's so important that we have to continue to do the work that we do as it relates to speaking the truth and telling people, listen, there's freedom in Christ. Even if you're locked in a home, it's still freedom in Christ, because it can always be worse. It's a mindset. Let's take this time to reset our lives. Let's take this time to study, to get more involved with family, to exercise. We can utilize this time, because everybody get 24 hours in a day, and we are going to come through this here, but I promise you, I'm going to come through better, and we got to know that.
My God, because freedom starts on the inside before it's on the outside. Everything that is of God starts first on the inside, and I truly believe a lot of people now, they're saying I'm free, but they're not producing it, because they want to see something outside first. Before I believe, I need to see something first. That's the opposite. That's the flip-flop of what God has said. So the one thing, one scripture that comes to my mind to help a person understand that God did not leave you by yourself, over in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, it says God is not a man. First of all, God ain't a man. He ain't human. That's the first thing. He ain't a man. So he don't do things naturally the way you think he's going to do it. So he didn't free you naturally like you thought he was going to free you. He says God is not a man that he should lie. So if he say you free from the inside, he ain't lied to you. He says neither the son of man that he should repent, hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? We got to believe that right now. That if he said it, he's going to make good on what he said. That's like a check that will not bounce. And matter of fact, you don't even have to cash it. You don't even have to go to a natural bank to cash it. It's already cashed in your spirit. All we got to do is get the check and write it out in cash. That's all we got to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But see, one of the issues we're having, and that I've seen, and I talk to many, 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 many believers on a weekly basis, and we say one thing, but our actions say another. I was talking to a young lady the other day, and everything that came out of her mouth was negative. And I said, listen, sis, I'm going to have to call somebody else, because your mouth is not lining up with your confession. And I didn't say it to be mean, but I meant what I said, because we have to position ourselves around people that are like-minded. I need to know that your iron is going to sharpen my iron. I see enough negativity not to be ignorant to the fact that, you know, it's almost like the guy with the issue, the guy with the withered arm. He didn't go around saying there wasn't nothing wrong with his arm. He acknowledged it. But yet he did what he needed to do in order to get the healing. I understand what's going on. There are some things that I have to do, but I speak life and not death. It is easier to speak death, because it's all around us. But I know that God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he would have to repent. Everything that he said is yes and amen. Now, I've got to say what he said, because the word of God says that my word will not return void, meaning everything that I say, I have to realize it's never unemployed. Every word that I say out of my mouth, it's going to do what it was supposed to do. So it is my responsibility to speak life, and I need to be around people that are also speaking life into my life, and we speak life together. So you have to be careful even who you have a conversation with. I talk a lot, believe it or not. I know that was a surprise, but not to everybody. Because if you don't make my spiritual baby jump, we don't really have a lot to talk about.
My God, I like
because
that.
Because I study the Word. I'm in the Word. I read my own Bible. I ask the Holy Spirit to give me revelation of the Word. I don't just wait for Pastor Williams on a Wednesday or on a Sunday. By the time I get on that line, I'm able to preach with you. You're reconfirming what I already know and then giving me more revelation. It is our responsibility as believers to be Bereans and study the Word and prove the Word in our own lives.
Wow. My God.
That's freedom.
And see, that's a good thing what you just said. And that that brings out even the lame man that was sitting by the pool of Bethesda over in John chapter 5. When the angel went down and stirred the water, and the people got in the water and they were healed, but this man was there for a long time. He was there for 38 years. And when Jesus showed up to the man, I so liked what happened because I often wondered, why did Jesus ask the man, what did he want? But he was trying to get the man to confirm, just like you said, confirm with your words what I already have for you. I need you to confirm that. I need you to speak that with your mouth. You got to speak that. Because if you're speaking something different than who I am, I can't help you. You know, that's just like fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Jesus could not tolerate fear. Because he was not fear. Fear would contaminate your faith. So when he showed up to the man in verse 5, he says, and a certain man was there 38 years. And verse 6, and when Jesus saw him lie, he knew he had been there for a long time in that case. And he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? He was asking him, do you want to be made whole? He had to get him to confirm with his mouth, yes, I want this. He didn't ask him for no fear. He just tell me that you agree with what I came to do. That's all I need you to do.
Amen.
And that's what the word says. Agree. My God.
And Apostle Williams, for 38 years, he got just what he was saying. I ain't got nobody to dip me in. Ain't that what he said? And when the right question was asked, that caused him to say the right thing, and then once again, he got just what he said. So it reiterates what we said. We have the power of life and death in our own tongues.
Come on now. Come on.
And even Satan knew that from the beginning. Hath God said? Did he not get what he said? I have no one to put me. Okay. Year number one, I have no one to put me in. Year number 28, I have no one, glory be to God, to put me in. And you still ain't got no one because you got just what you said. We got to change our conversation.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. And Satan will.
And look at the lady with the issue of blood.
Your life to change it. Come on now.
Amen. The lady with the issue of blood, she said something too. I know. Mm. If I touch the hem of his garment, I will be. Did she not get what she said? So they both got what they said.
Mm-hmm.
But
got what they said. That's true.
They both
I
got
like
what
that.
They said.
My
so it
goodness.
Goes back. The responsibility lies within us.
Mm-hmm.
We have the authority to create the life that we want, and you know, being a Christian, we want the life that God wants for us. So it is
mm-hmm.
not the white man or the blue man or the green man. Even when the baddest president around, he was imperfect, but I loved him, Barack Obama. He didn't change
mm-hmm.
my life.
Uh-huh.
It was he didn't come to my house. I can't
mm-hmm.
call him on the phone. Michelle ain't got my cell phone number, and I ain't got hers. But it was the decision my husband and I made so that we can be in the financial, the spiritual, emotional position that we're in today. So a man cannot do this for us. We're looking for a great hope.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is, it's already been done. The man, it's like you said, God has already given us not a measure of faith for this or a measure of faith. He's given us the measure of faith. We don't need to add on to it. We just need to walk it out.
That's it. Just walk it out and do what he says. And I agree 100% of what you're saying, because just like he said in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, lack of understanding. So just because a person, you know, if you're saying that you're free, but yet you're producing something different, it isn't God's fault. It's your knowledge of understanding that you are truly free. And how do we really get to understand that we're truly free? We got to get in his word. We got to get in his word and understand how we are free. And I tell people all the time, some people say, well, how do I, okay, you saying get in the word and get it, but I don't know where to find it. Okay, this is how you find it. You go right into your index, or you get a Bible dictionary, and you look up the word free. or freedom. And you begin, and it will give you all of the verses in the Bible that comes with freedom and free. It'll show you everything. Then once you do that, you find yourself in that verse. And once you find yourself in that verse, now you begin to lean on it.
Well, Pastor, that requires too much work, because that means I got to not watch Netflix. I got to not go to Ross. I got to not watch CSI. I am just going to listen to you on Sunday, and I'm going to remember what you said. You said the Bible says that my people perish or destroy for a lack of knowledge, and I'm not going to read anymore. But guess what? I was that person, and then I started reading. It doesn't stop there. It says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because they have rejected the knowledge that was made available to them. It is not that the knowledge is not there, or people ain't preaching this here, or pastors ain't preaching this, or church is not doing that. No, you have not positioned yourself to get the knowledge that was already placed there for you. So that's why they fail. But so often we stop because we ain't teaching the right thing. Every preacher preaching something that you need to know to grow. You have to take that and add to your faith by doing the work yourself. You got to go beyond what you hear on Sunday. Sunday is just supposed to stir you up to study and prove the word throughout the week. By the time you big act on Sunday, you empty and ready to fill up again. But we have, I call it, you know, we're full of the word and ain't doing nothing with it.
After that,
the word becomes stagnant. It ain't working in your life. So how in the world? I had a lady the other day say, "Hey, sister, we're going to be going to church on Easter because we believe in God." And I'm like, "Wait a minute, sis. Is this the same pastor you done talked about for the last 4 years? That he ain't got no – and you think I'm going to trust my faith with a non-anointed church and the coronavirus? No, boo, I'll stay home and listen to him on radio. You don't even believe in his ministry. So you're going to invite me? But I said that to say this here. We do more damage as it relates to church than the man or the woman of God. That's in leadership, so to speak, because people are watching us on a day-to-day basis on how we're reacting in the situation. Even on my job, I still say, listen, God is still God. And I always say, this is not such and such company. This is Veronica. God is still in control. I don't understand, and I ain't trying to explain it. All I know is he was in control from the beginning, and he's in control now. We'll have this conversation on the other side. But we got to study it by ourselves. We have to desire his word, like the Bible says, as a deer panteth after the water brook. The bottom line is we go after what we want. If there's a sale at Ross, I am going because I love Ross. I'm going to make my way. It can be raining or whatever. We go after what we want. We do exactly what we want to do, and we make time for what we want to make time for. So if we're not making time for the word of God, then that's not that important to us. And it's just that simple.
That's true. And when we go to church, we have to go to church to hear a word from God. The pastor of that church is there, and he should already have heard from God to be able to teach the sheep what God is saying. But if he haven't heard from God and you go to church and you're not going to hear what God is saying because he ain't heard from God, he's the leader. So every pastor should always hear from God. And this is what I tell people all the time. There are some things that's taught and there are some things that has to be caught. You got to catch it in the spirit. Some things you can't be taught everything. God has to teach us things in the spirit realm that a man can't teach you. But he's adding to what God has done. And then when we go to church, we bring, like you said, we come into the building, everybody on the one accord as they did even at Pentecost. They went in that building on one accord, and what happened? The power of God fell. The spirit of God fell. And even Amen. In the Old Testament, when the priest came in and the people was there and they got on one accord and they began to worship God, the priest couldn't even minister because of the anointing that filled the house. The glory of God
Amen.
Filled the house and he couldn't say a word. That's when you know that the man of God has been before God, because what's coming
Amen.
Out of him is what God put in him. That's what's coming out
Amen.
Of him. And people are catching what God is saying. And that's how we got to go to church every Sunday. I need to go to receive something from God. If I'm going to see what Pookie got on, I'm going to see how Ray Ray jumping and shouting, or I'm going with my bad suit on Easter, got the wrong reason why you're going to church.
Amen. Now that's not. Now I'm gonna go there and see what Ray Ray got on, and I'm gonna look and see what Lisa got on, because I want to make sure Lisa's skirt don't look like mine. We got on the same outfit. That's the truth. But I'm bringing mine with me when I walk in church. I'm kidding on that. When I walk in church, I keep my eyes closed 95% of the time. You know why? Because
mm-hmm.
I don't want any distractions. This thing is
mm-hmm.
personal. It's between me and God. Even if the choir ain't singing the way on the right note, I got my own mm-hmm. zone going on. And when the pastor
Come
stands
on.
Up and preach, we are so on one accord. It makes it easier for him or her to deliver
mm-hmm.
the word. No pastor wants to, and I'm not a pastor, and I know you're an apostle, no pastor wants to reteach every Sunday. We should be at least know our ABCs when we get there. So
Come
we can
on.
Develop words. But what I've seen is people don't know their ABCs, so I got to stop, teach you your ABCs, where us college students need more.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that individual that's teaching the ABCs, but I need to go a little bit beyond high school to keep feeding my spirit. But we cannot stay in, we can't eat milk forever.
Mm-hmm.
It comes a time
mm-hmm.
in our life where we desire the meat
mm-hmm.
of the word, because that's the only thing that keeps us. Sometimes 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I just like the Lord, wake me up. I have a decision. I can go back to sleep or I can get up and pray, and 99% of the time, I don't feel like getting up.
Mm.
I don't feel like getting up and praying. But it's like if God wake me up 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever time, I say, God, I don't even know why I'm up, but I know that I'm praying. I pray in my heavenly language, and it may be 5 minutes, and I go back to bed. I have a personal relationship with Christ. We talk about this whole topic today is talking about freedom. There is a difference between freedom and, as it relates to freedom and relationship versus religion. I believe religion ties us up. But when you have a relationship with Christ, you're free. It's just like your children have a relationship with you and your wife. They come in the house feeling free. They don't have to work to eat. They know this is a part of our relationship, that you're going to take care of us. And I believe, and I'm telling you, and I don't want to talk about my life too much, but I can tell you where it came from and where I'm at today. The only difference between me and a lot of other people is because I said so. Even in the midst of things didn't look right, I used to stand up in my mirror and I would make declarations. I didn't know what they were back then. Even when life hit me hard, and it did, I always knew, God, this is just the season. And I have to say, I'm going back to my dad, I thank God that he introduced us to Christ, because one thing I always knew, that God was going to bring me through it. I didn't know how. And in the midst of crying and snotting and just feeling horrible, I still said, God, I don't know how you're going to bring me through, but I trust you. In tears. That's freedom. Today, I live a stress-free life full of freedom because I know my rights as a child of God. Not a servant, but a daughter.
Come on. That is so true. And I like that, because that goes right in line with what God began to tell the people in Numbers 14 and verse 28. He says, say unto them, as truly as I live, says the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. So every word that we say, it goes in the ears of God, and he said, I'm going to do exactly what you said. Whatever
Amen.
You said is what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. And we look at, I tell people all the time, if you see the fruit, okay, you can't see the root of where it came from, but when you see the fruit, you know what the root looked like. Because you can't have apple, you can't have an apple and say, oh, it's an orange tree. No, it's not. Whatever the root is, you're gonna birth the fruit from it. So we know who people are when we see their fruit. What are you producing? I know what your root is.
Amen. God. And the thing about it is, I don't think we really believe that, because I've been saved now for during the 30 years, but I didn't always believe this. If we really believe that we would have to give an account for everything that we said in word and in deed, if we believe that we have power in what we said, I promise you we will focus on saying the right thing. We will cast down every imagination and thought that does not line up with truth. We really don't believe that. But I promise you, sir, even being a part of a co-host on this show is because of what I said. And Jesus. God in his sovereignty connected us together. This is not something people are like, how do you do all that stuff? I speak it into existence. And that is fact. Now, I don't magic money, because that's not a part of what God said, but I do speak resources in my life.
That's what it takes.
That's the only difference. I decided to believe the report of the Lord, but you got to know what the report says. It's like you said last week. In the bank, they don't teach you. They don't have 28,000 counterfeit dollar bills on the table, and you got to go through each and one of them. They have the original. Once you know what the original looks like, counterfeits, no, they got a dot on it. That's the real one. When we know what the word says, I don't care what other type of religion come in our existence or in our world, that's not my foundation. I have friends that don't believe necessarily in God. They kind of mix all that stuff together. And you know what I tell them? Listen, this works for me. The white man God, it just works for me.
Because
my foundation is in the word. And you cannot ask me any question that I cannot pull up a biblical principle to answer that problem.
Come on. Wow. That's true. And like you said earlier, that God did not give us the spirit of fear. And this is Bible. He did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. These are the three things that God has given us: power, love, and a sound mind. So when we know who we are in Christ, and we know that we are free, those three areas, we're going to walk in them every day. Because remember, power represents strength. That's to do supernatural things. When we know we're not in bondage, but we're free, God puts his super on our natural. Now we can do supernatural things that we couldn't do on our own, because it's not us who's doing it. So he said, I'll give you power first. Then he said, I'll give you love. Love is nothing but the heart of God. When we have God's love, it's nothing but his heart. That's what love truly is. It's his heart. That's the agape love. That's not phileo. Phileo love says, I'll love you based on what you do for me. But agape love says, I'll love you regardless of what you do. Agape love is the love of God. It isn't phileo. We ain't playing with this love. We know who we are in Christ. Then he said, I'll give you a sound mind. That represents peace and self-control. When you cuss me out, I didn't pull the knife like I used to. If I didn't have the love of God, I would have had to cut you. And some people listen to me right now, you know what I'm talking about. Because we know where we came from, and we know where we are right now. So when we know we're free, we get all three of these areas open up in our life when we know that we're free. He give you pay, he give you power, he gives you love, and he gives you a sound mind. Regardless of what's going on, he's got a sound mind. My God. Boy, this is awesome, because so many people right now, and they may be listening to this right now, and I hope you're taking notes on a lot of scriptures, because I tell the church all the time, whenever and regardless of you listening to me or we have someone else in to come teach the word, always have a pen and a pad where you can take notes of what they're saying. So now when you get home, now you can go back and you can read those scriptures and let God minister to you more and give you more revelation on what was given to you. Because it's a known fact that we only retain 10% of what we hear for the first time. It's a known fact. We only retain 10% of what we hear for the first time. That's why we have to keep hearing it over and over and over again. Why? Because the more you hear it, now it becomes reality to you, and you can see what that thing is saying. My God, my God. Man, I love this.
And when we study this at home, we make it ours. There are certain things you from me because I mind for that word. I know that he's a healer. I know that he's a mind regulator. I know that he's a heart fixer because I mind that word. I studied that word. I made it my own. I proved it. So you can't take that from me. And when we study at home, it solidifies the word in our conscious and our subconscious. It makes that word a part of us. It allows us to not just swallow it, but to digest it and get all the nutrients that are necessary for us to live according what the Bible says, an abundant life, to have that power, that love, and a sound mind in the midst of any situation.
My God. My God, because that means right there, and I'm glad you said that, that means right there that God did not design us to live off broken pieces. That means just getting by.
Wow.
He designed us for that. He didn't design us for that. Just getting by. That's broken pieces. I don't need your broken stuff. I'm whole. Colossians 2:10 says God has made us complete. We are already complete. All I have to do is receive. And someone listening to this right now may be saying, but how do I get it? You got to receive. You have to receive the word. That's just like if someone put $1 trillion in your bank account, but you never go to your bank to see what's in there. You never check your bank. You never find out what's in there. You will never know that you have $1 trillion in your bank account. But when you know that it's there, you will never have another care or worry because you know what's in your bank account.
True, Pastor. But to add to what you said, with $1 trillion in your bank account, you can lose it in a year if you don't know how to manage the money, if you don't know the laws of how the taxes and all of that stuff. So oftentimes God ain't going to give us $1 million because we don't even know how to manage 500. We got to be a good steward of what he gives us, or we'll be in a worse state than what we were before. Because to have $1 million and then lose it, people are like, girl, you know, that's the one that ain't that a shame. Ain't that the one that won? Ain't that the one that won that $1 million? We got to know the laws. We got to know how to manage that money. It's just like you said a couple of weeks ago on your program, you talked about how we prayed, or some people prayed for weeks, and Lord, it, like the Jabez prayers, Lord, enlarge my territory, which that wasn't what it meant. But I didn't want God to enlarge my territory because I knew there were monsters in the other territories. I just needed to know how to deal with the situations in the territory that I was living in at the point. And I had to learn about money. I had to respect the currency of this world. At the same time, understand that's not kingdom currency. Kingdom currency is faith and relationship in people. God gets this stuff done through people. I had to take out time and invest money 4 years in seminary school to learn this stuff. It didn't come overnight because I desired it. I had to go through the process. Just like when Jesus Christ died on high, that was a process. Even he himself, God, is there any other way? Not my will. It's okay to say that. But then you still forge forward and say, not my will, but your will be done. We don't always want to do the right thing, but it is necessary, and it benefits us more than it benefits God, because he is God. So we got to go through the process. We got to put some skin into the game. It's just like you talked about faith. Faith without works is a dead kind of faith. You can't say you believe God is God and then live in fear. What about that power, love, and a sound mind? Sound mind is not a part of fear. And you mentioned something about fear cancels out faith or something like that. That is the 100% truth.
Man, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. My faith will always stay contaminated if I let fear in. If I let fear in there, and unbelief is nothing but fear in itself also.
Amen.
Unbelief and doubt are twins. That's what they are. They're twins. They go hand in hand. Unbelief and doubt. Did say I couldn't even work many miracles in my own city because of their unbelief. It's not that he didn't want to do it. He wanted them to receive what he was offering, but he couldn't do it because of their unbelief. So people of God, if you have unbelief, can God move in your life? Can't do it. He can't do it. He wants to. So you got to get rid of the unbelief and the doubt so that God can move like he wants to move in your life. Praise
Amen.
God. Hallelujah.
We
Man, I tell
limit
you.
God.
Yes. Yes. Yes,
I remember years ago, because of my mindset, and if my friends are listening, some of them know that I am definitely telling the truth, that I was afraid to go through a gated community because I didn't feel like I belonged there. I used to have panic attacks to go through a gated community if I saw something that said golf or a waterfront or what have you, because that was my mentality. I didn't belong there. I belonged in a double, you know, if I was blessed, I was going to, because that was my dream, to have a double wide trailer, something that I can fix up. Isn't that crazy? Or when I would pray to God, I would pray for a good side tree mechanic. That was my prayer. And I remember talking to this girl one day, and she said, well, why don't you just take it to the car dealership? Apostle, I promise you, I never even thought of that. I was believing God for a good side tree mechanic. Never thought about just taking it to the dealership. All my life looking for cars, I never went on a car dealership until one year, and that almost scared me to death. But it was my mindset. God could not give me more than what I could believe, because that was a situation I was supposed to walk away with a beautiful car, but I didn't see myself in it, so I did not drive away with it. I drove away with what I thought I can handle. And you talk about the supernatural. That's above the natural. That's above what I can handle. That's above the norm. But it goes back to this here. Freedom is knowing what your rights are. Freedom is understanding that there is structure tied into this freedom. We are free to drive our cars, but we're not free to cross a red light. As long as we stay within the law of the land and the law of the kingdom as it relates to our freedom. Freedom is available, has been made available to all of us, but we got to put the work in, and time is a factor in all of this.
Wow, my God. My God, because even though at that point, you know, you were feeling that ways in, but the thing is, I tell people all the time, where you are doesn't change who you are. You were in that position, but it didn't change who you truly were on the inside.
Amen.
That's why you see what you see now, because God said, that's just where you were, but it's not who you truly are. See, because a lot of people, they think the things make them valuable. The Mercedes Benz does not make you valuable. You make the Mercedes valuable. My God, it's according to how I see myself.
Yes, sir. And it's so, and you know, it's simple, it's funny, it's comical, but it is so true. And once you get that, it's liberating. You know, I can't tell you how many times I went, you know, I stood next to somebody else's Mercedes and you just happened to take that picture. You didn't say it was your car. You just say, God's favor ain't fair. You know what I mean? You ain't say it was your car. You just, and it's like, you know what? And now I make a joke out of it. It's like, and I see other people when they do it, and my heart goes out to them, because if you ever come to an understanding that you really are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God, and everything that you need to be successful was in you before the foundation of the world. You didn't just get here by mistake, because if you think about the cycle of life, you had to fight a lot of other little wiggly things to get here.
That's true.
I crossed that threshold because it was purposeful for me to get here. Now, not to negate the fact that Satan tried to snuff my life and not kill me, but kill my joy, my peace, my hope, my soul. But God had a plan for me, and I'm not special. He has that same plan for everybody that have crossed that threshold, and we got to know that. It ain't no big eyes and little eyes. We are all children of God with the same resources that anybody else, because we just got to tap into it. And the main thing is, it goes back to what we said before, We got to believe it. How can we believe that Jesus Christ died for us when he died over 2,000 years ago before it was a us? So if he died and we believe that, it'll be just as easy to believe that he is God and that he's a protector and he's a healer and he's going to protect me. And I can't worry about what the next person don't believe. As for me and my house, we covered.
Come on.
And my house is just not the people over these 32802 zip code. It's my family and everybody that I'm connected with.
Come on now. That's true. Because what people have to do, and people, if you're listening to me right now, I want to say this to you, is that even though you have had some failures in your life, your failure does not cancel your assignment. Just because you had a failure, that's just something that happened. But your failure never cancels your assignment. Your assignment is going to stay the same. But what happens with that? What you're born to do is more powerful than what you have done. God already has something on the inside of you that he's birthing out of you. And through your failures, the enemy wants to use your failure as a weapon. But I'm telling you, whatever failure that you've had is pushing you and propelling you to the next level to see what God has already done. Because on the inside of you is greatness. It's greatness. God has already done what he wanted to do in you. On the inside of you is what's called potential. Potential means hidden treasure. God has hidden something on the inside of you, and he has his set time on when that thing is going to come out of you. And that set time, you may be praying, saying, Lord, deliver me from this thing. He's already delivered you from that thing. Now he needs you to receive what he's already done so that he can position you and that hidden treasure can flow from you to make a change in somebody else's life. Because believe it or not, your life, every day you go around people who you know, they're watching your. If you are decreeing that you're a Christian, they're watching you. They're watching to see what you do. They're watching to see how you go through stuff. And your life, when they see you go through it, they look at you and say, "How did they get through that?" They want what you have, but they're afraid to come to you to ask you, "How did you do what you do?" Because they may have talked about you so much that they're afraid to come to you to ask you, "How did you get through what you went through?" It's just like, remember Paul? Paul was sailing on the boat, and they were going to the other side of the river, and the storm brewed up, and Paul told the people, he said, "Do not get off this boat." He said, "If you get off the boat, you're going to die. But if you stay on, you're going to live." And he told him, he said, "I told y'all we shouldn't have sailed out, but y'all did it anyway." But he said, "But this day God would not allow any of us to perish." And he said, the one thing that we got to do first, we got to lighten the load. They started throwing stuff over the boat, stuff over the boat. And the book said they made it to land on broken pieces. But not only was that happened, then when they get to land, it's cold. So they started putting sticks together. And the biggest thing that I always saw, Paul was sailing in a boat with people that didn't even like him. But yet he helped them make it to the other side, and none of them died. But they hated his guts. And how did God get out of them? How did God reveal to Paul that they hated him? Because they were putting sticks together to build a fire. And the Bible said when Paul put the stick on, the viper latched on to Paul's hand, and Paul shook him off into the fire. And the book says no harm came on Paul. And the people look, and they say, "Oh, yeah, he finna die now. Boy, that viper done got him. He finna die now." But when he didn't die, truly, this is a man of God. There are some people put in your path for God to show them who you truly are. And sometimes we worry, "Lord, I'm going through this. Lord, I'm going through that." There's a reason why. Because God is trying to reveal himself through you. He sees what you don't see. my God. Man, I love this morning. Man, you done bought ourselves.
I'm about to get my checkbook out. You keep preaching like that.
And this is who God made us. He made us prosperous beings. He made us get by. We are who he is in the kingdom, and we're representing what the kingdom is right here on this earth. That's what we represent.
Amen.
That's what we represent. Man, but b- before we go, do you have any last words to say to the people, Veronica? Hallelujah.
Yes, I would just like to encourage all the listeners to, number one, continue to listen, because definitely God has a word here for you, and to get in your Bible, and you don't have to read the whole thing, but just pray and ask God to give you revelation of what you're reading, and try to memorize scriptures. And the reason why I say that, not so that you can regurgitate them in public or what have you, but I'm telling you, the word is the only thing that transforms lives. So just take our word for it. And you've heard this more than once or twice. This is just a reminder that we can live an abundant life, according to what the word says, and we can live in freedom, that we will get to the other side of this situation that we're going on now. And we look forward to talking to you again on next week.
Hallelujah. Amen. And I just want to encourage you, people of God, with one more thing. See, you may be experiencing problems right now in your life, but let me tell you something. Mm. Your problems are not more powerful than your purpose. There's a purpose on the inside of you. Your problems are not more powerful than your purpose. I need you to understand that. So if you don't know Christ, before we leave here today, it would be highway robbery if I did not do this. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, because all these things that we're talking about, freedom, and we're talking about the works of God and the things that God does for you, yes, he does that, but you got to know him as your personal Savior. You got to know him. And it doesn't come with all this big stuff. You don't have to go to the altar to get him. You don't have to go anywhere else but in your heart, believing. And I want to help you know Christ for yourself on the inside of you. I want to lead you to Christ this morning. And if you don't know him, all you need to do is just do this. Just repeat this prayer after me. Hallelujah. Just say, Lord, I come to you as a sinner. And I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again just for me. And I receive you today. Become the head of my life and lead me every day. I receive you by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Right there in that prayer, you have become a new creature in Jesus Christ. You have become something that has never, ever been seen before. All your sins, he's wiped them away. He's threw them in the sea of forgetfulness. And all you have to do is forget what you have done, because Christ has redeemed you from that. When you prayed that prayer, don't let religion means bondage. Don't let religion pull you out of your purpose. All of these things, if you have a shortcoming and you fall, the scripture says, though a man fall seven times, he can get back up again. That's why we celebrate this weekend, because Christ has done just what you just prayed. He has redeemed you. He has bought you back. He's freed you. That's why I'm so happy that we're talking about freedom, because this weekend proves that you're free. Because Jesus came and he died and he rose again with all power in his hand. And he said, whatever you need, I've already given it to you, because he's taking control of it. Now, every day, you just thank God for being free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory
Amen.
To God. This was awesome. This was awesome. And we look forward to our next broadcast, because it is going to be great with our next show. Hallelujah. And people of God, make sure you tune in. We're on, and our co-host Veronica is going to be with us every other Saturday. But listen, everything that we said today, just take it in and live it. That's all you got to do. Just take it in and live it. Let God produce it in your life. We love you, people of God. And until next time, remember, we'll be back on again on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. We'll be back on again sharing the word of God. But I want you to enjoy this next song. It is from my good friend, Al Wilcox, that is entitled Comfort. God is going to comfort you. And until next time, God bless you. See you next time. Yeah.
in a world filled with pain. Sorrow all around us, it seems things won't change. I get so tired, I can't see my way. Lord, I need you to comfort me, yeah. Comfort me in your arms, yeah, oh yeah. Oh. Everywhere despair, the hearts of men have waxed cold. Lord, see, no one came. I'm tired of this drama. Lord, I need your peace. So
the love and the joy that you promised to tell me. me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's alright.
The truth is,
I almost gave up.
Ghost power, y'all.
Fell from heaven like a shower down.
And I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still.
I smile.
Come on.
Even though I hurt, see, I smile.
Y'all feel that?
I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while,
still.
I smile.
Hallelujah. You're in right now.
Against your home. The enemy came up against your children. The enemy came up against your name. The enemy came up against your character. You will came up against your health. The enemy came up against your finance. The enemy came up against your vision. The enemy came up against your business. You will.
is, can you win? I came to tell somebody up in here tonight that there is something on the inside of you that's going to help you win in this season. And it's called a champion. You ought to open up your mouth and shout, I am a champion. Everything attached to you wins. I said everything attached to you wins. Can you point to your neighbor and tell them everything attached to you wins? Come on, let's just tell them everything attached to you wins. Just tell them, say, it's your winning seed.
It's your winning seed.
You've got God to carry you. You've got God to carry you. That's what he's going to do tonight. Because you can't afford to lose again. You can't afford to lose again. Oh, it's your winning season. Last time, everything attached to me wins. This is what I need you to do. Because I realize that you can't say you are a winner but look defeated. I need you to get up out of your seat and high five 10 people across this room. Don't just stay at your rope, tell them across the room that you will win. Come on, high five 10 people and tell them you will win. You will win. God don't birth failures. God don't call you defeated. You are a winner.
find favor in your sight. Lord, please, Lord, please.
Gotta be where you are.
I wanna be where.